Good morning, and welcome to the Spirit of Grace, where God's Word and message are brought to you by Grace Lutheran Church in New Albany, Indiana.
The Jews then answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and possessed by a demon?" Jesus said, "I am not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. If I seek my own glory, I do not seek my own glory, but there is one who does, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth, anyone who keeps my word will never see death." Well, then the Jews all exclaimed, "Well, now we know that you are demon-possessed. We know that you are demon-possessed because Abraham died, and so did the prophets. Yet you say anyone who keeps your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, who you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me." Oh, yes. "Though you do not know him, I know him. If I were to say that I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years of age, and you have seen Abraham," they said. "I tell you the truth," said Jesus, "before Abraham was born, I am." With that, they picked up stones in order to stone him. But he hid himself from them and slipped away from the temple grounds. This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, through our Lord and our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear friends in Christ Jesus, 46 years ago today, 16th of June, 1973, a wedding took place at St. Michael's Lutheran Church in Richville, Michigan. It was a day a lot like this. We had a thunderstorm in the morning. In the afternoon, the sun came out and baked all that water into the air, so it was a muggy afternoon. At 4 o'clock that afternoon, the doors open up at the back of the aisle, and in walked a young bride, just 17 years of age. Her name was Rebecca Ann Weston. She came down the aisle in the arm of her father, and she married some rascal named Bruce Kishnick. That is my wife, Becky, and I. Today, it's 46 years that we were married. And there's three parts to this story. There's the wedding day, there's the marriage, and then there are the anniversaries. And we want to use them as sort of a picture as we talk today about the Trinity. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. It's a day that we celebrate and marvel at this great mystery that is ours in the Trinity. Three persons distinct from each other and yet one God. Not three gods as we've just confessed, but that in this Trinity, these three are one and each one part of those three. Now, if you ask me, how does that work? I got to tell you, I don't know. It's beyond my brain to fathom it, and some of the greatest minds in history have tried to fathom that. It is a mystery, but then I would say to you, if you and I had a God that we could explain in a nutshell, then that wouldn't be much of a God. What we celebrate on Trinity Sunday is that our God is a marvelous and awesome God, that he is beyond our understanding. He is totally and completely other than we are. We are creatures created. He is God from all eternity. And so it makes sense for us to have mysteries about God that we can't yet explain. But I'll tell you this, the more you study the Trinity, the more you realize that it is within the Trinity that God works for our good, that he employs all the aspects of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to our salvation, for our good, and for our life in his kingdom. And he does it because he loves us. We don't deserve that, but that's exactly what he gives us. So let's talk first about the Father and creating something new. That wedding day 46 years ago, something that did not exist before that ceremony existed after that ceremony. There was something new created that day when I said that I would, and Becky said that she would, and we promised to love, cherish, and honor one another for the rest of our lives together. Something new was created. And it was created where something hadn't been before. One of the interesting things about the Old Testament is that the penalty for adultery was exactly the same penalty as for murder. It was death by stoning. And you would think, wait a minute, why? But from God's perspective, when a husband and wife married, they became one new entity. And adultery has a way of killing that entity. It's murder in a very real way. So when Becky and I said our vows that day, something new came. And understand, it also came with a promise, and it came with hope. The promise was that we would love each other for the rest of our lives. The hope was that we would be able to carry that out, and there was also the hope of something new, a new family. There was the hope ingrained within that, that there would be some new human beings as a result of this union. And by God's grace, three kids came along, and now eight grandchildren, and the family has grown, and we've been blessed. Creation. That is what we ascribe to the Father. And we celebrate the fact that God, as a creative entity, creates everything that we see. He starts out by creating light, and then he creates matter. And then he creates what God again and again holds to be his greatest invention, life. Life. Think of all the life, the myriad forms of life that we have on this planet. Everything from one-celled microscopic life to whales that outweigh a city bus. And in all of that, there is this pinnacle. There's the peak. There's the crown of his creation. He makes sentient beings who can understand and respond to his love with love of their own. He makes Adam, he makes Eve, and these two beings are perfect. And there's this perfect harmony with God and this perfect communion and this perfect understanding of that. But it doesn't last very long, does it? Well, Adam and Eve fall into sin, and with sin comes fear. As you see that right away that first evening, they know that they have sinned the moment that they eat of that tree that they were told not to. And when they eat of that tree and they hear God coming into the garden, what do? They hide. And when he asks them why they hid, they say, because we were naked. And he goes, who told you you were naked? See, it wasn't the nakedness that was the problem. It was the fear that they had. They felt vulnerable because they knew they were no longer perfect as God was perfect, and they feared the judgment that would come. And of course, with fear also came deceit. They start to lie right away. They start to point fingers at the other one. God says to Adam, what have you done? The woman you gave me, she gave it to me and ate. Says to Eve, what have you done? The serpent, he beguiled me. And of course, with sin, with fear, with deceit, also comes death. Death. Here in this world that God had made pristine, where there was nothing but life, now something new has come too, and it's death. And God could have turned and walked away from it all. He could have said, failed experiment. Leave it. I'm going to go get another planet. I'll start over someplace else. Maybe I'll do it better this time. He doesn't do that. Above all things, God loves his creatures. He loves human beings. He loves us, and we don't deserve that a bit. And in his love for us, he brings a plan into being. Chapter 3 of Genesis already, God says, I will put enmity between your seed and the woman's seed. You will bruise his heel, he will crush your head. He, who's he talking about? Already there, he's talking about someone whom God will send to make a difference. And so we see God call Abraham out of those people. He calls Abraham to himself. He makes a promise to Isaac, makes a promise to Jacob. Out of Jacob's 12 sons, God brings 12 tribes to be. The nation of Israel is birthed. He brings them out of Egypt, and he makes them his own people. And all the while, it is God the Father putting a plan into work so that he will protect that plan and that promise that's made so that down the line, he's going to send his Messiah. And that's where we see the second person of the Trinity make his appearance. Saved by sacrifice, the marriage. I don't believe 46 years ago today that Becky knew what she was signing up for. I'm pretty sure she'd tell you that. I was 19, she was 17. We went to college 4 years together. We suffered and struggled and starved at times and made ends meet. We spent our first summer in a cottage, and it wasn't much of a cottage to start with. And then when we moved to Chicago, we rented an apartment. And the first night that we spent in the apartment, we had to sleep on the floor because the furniture wasn't there yet. And at 5 minutes after 5 in the morning, we were awake and bolt upright in bed, or on the floor, wakened up by this sound. Boom, 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 boom. The walls shook. We didn't know what to think. Jumped up. And a couple of minutes later, we hear, boom, 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 boom. And that's when we discovered that right across our parking lot was an L station. And every morning, 7 days a week, at 5 minutes after 5, boom, 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 boom. L, elevated train. It was a train that came in every day, 5 after 5. We got used to that. We lived there for a year, and then we moved to Franklin Park. And the day we signed the lease, Becky went to work at Penny's, and the girls, when she told them we were moving to Crown Road, they said, oh my God, Becky, you don't want to go to Crown Road. They call that the jungle. It's unincorporated area, Cook County. There's no police out there. There's drugs and knifings and shootings, and oh my gosh. We found that out a little too late. But we were okay. We didn't get shot. We didn't get stabbed. We didn't get robbed. But the other thing we hadn't counted on was we found that out the first day we moved in. About every 3 minutes, right over the top of the roof came all the big planes going into O'Hare. And I'm telling you, I think we could have stood on the roof and I could have reached up. I could have tickled their bellies as they went by. So we lived in a two-bedroom rented house when we had the babies. We lived in a Teach Ridge for 3 years in Evansville. We went to Fort Wayne. We lived in a government-subsidized townhouse. The kids, if you talk to my kids, they'll tell you, Dad, we lived in the projects. Well, yeah, maybe. Becky had 3 kids with the help of 3 different doctors in 3 different hospitals in 3 different states. Okay? So what I'm telling you is that the woman has sacrificed for me and for my family. Still sacrifices for the grandkids now. And to be fair, I sacrifice for her too. Why? Because we made a vow to each other. 46 years ago today, we promised each other that we were going to love and care for one another. And what that brings, love brings sacrifice. And it's what we celebrate about the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. God the Father had made a promise. He promised his creation that he would save them, that he would bring them out of their sin, that he would bring life out of the death that sin had brought. And he promised that, and we see it when his Son, Jesus, comes. He puts aside all of his glory. He puts aside all the majesty of being divine. He puts that all aside and becomes flesh. St. Paul says he made himself nothing. He started out like you and me, one little cell in the womb of his mother. One little cell. I had to grow, had to be born, he had to learn to walk and learn to talk, be potty trained. All the things that you and I had to go, he does, and he does it so that he might be one of us in order that he might save us. And St. Paul said he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. Jesus said the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. And that service leads ultimately to the ultimate sacrifice, that he takes on death, even death on a cross, in order to gain and to win our salvation. It's what we celebrate about the Son, is that he is the perfect example of the Father's love for us, and in that love, his love is so perfect that he's willing to sacrifice everything that we might be members of his kingdom. He does it all so that we might have it all. Today in the gospel lesson, we heard Jesus say, "Before Abraham was born, I am." When he said that, what did they do? They looked for stones to stone him. Why? Because they understood what Jesus was saying. When he said, before Abraham was, I am, that's the name of God himself. When Moses was at the burning bush and he said, "What's your name?" He said, "Tell Israel, I am has sent you, Yahweh." And so they pick up stones because that's blasphemy. They're going to kill him, put him to death because he's blaspheming. Well, wait a minute. He's blaspheming unless what? Unless what he said is true. There's the marvelous thing about the Trinity, is that Jesus is God with the Father, co-equal, co-eternal. He is the one. And so St. Peter in our epistle lesson says, "Be assured of this. This Jesus, whom you crucified, has been made Lord and Christ." That's what we celebrate in the second person of the Trinity, is that Jesus came and gave himself so that we might have life. Then there's one more part. Remembering. Today's my anniversary. Anniversaries are good because those are days when we especially look back. We look back at our marriage. I have to confess, I remember seeing Becky at the head of the aisle with her dad. My next good memory is we were out after the service in the narthex getting our pictures taken. I'm pretty sure I took the vows. I'm pretty sure I said that, but I don't remember. I don't remember that portion. But you know what? It doesn't really matter if I remember it or not, because I've got 46 years of memories. Some of them great, and some not so great. Big things and little things. Happy things and sad things. When her mother died, I wept with her. When my mother died, she wept with me. When the birth of our grandchildren came, we celebrated together, and we still celebrate every milestone. Birthdays, graduations, all of those things are all going to be a part of it. It's remembering, see? That's where the third person of the Trinity comes. The Holy Spirit's job and aim is to bring into remembrance all that God has done for us. Jesus had said to the apostles, he said, "Go and stay in Jerusalem until my Father sends the gift that's been promised. And when he, the counselor, comes, he will bring into remembrance all that I have taught you." It's a powerful thing because last week we celebrated Pentecost, right? the coming of the Holy Spirit to the apostles. What were those apostles like before Pentecost? Well, they were a motley crew. Oh my gosh. On Easter morning, they're hiding in the upper room for fear of the Jews. Other times we see them arguing with each other, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? Other times they're full of doubts. A couple of weeks ago, where did we see them? They're laying under a tree on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And one of them goes, what do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? I don't know. Well, what do you want to do? I don't know. And then Peter says, I'm going fishing. And they go, okay, we'll go with you. They didn't know what to do with themselves. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. They know Jesus is alive, but he's not with them all the time. And they don't know what to do with themselves. So they're going to go back and do what they did before. They go fishing. But what happens on Pentecost? The Holy Spirit comes to them, and these men who up till now have been full of doubt and full of misdirection and misunderstanding, the moment the Holy Spirit comes to them, everything falls in place. All at once, they remember and they understand how everything fit together. You could just see them. They're going, that's why Jesus said, that's why he did, this is what this, I get it. And once they get it, they're different men because the Holy Spirit brought to remembrance everything that God had taught them. That's what the Holy Spirit does for you too. He brings into remembrance these things that Jesus has done. He brings into remembrance these things you learned at your mother's knee or in Sunday school when you were a kid. He brings into remembrance all that God has done for us so that out of that comes this overflowing joy that God has done these things for us. Didn't deserve it, but he did it anyway. Luther has a way of putting those things. He says, and all this out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me. He does this all not because we're so good, but he does it because his love for us is so good. The Holy Spirit is the one who calls, gathers, and enlightens his whole church on earth and keeps it in the one true faith. That faith in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I remember on our first anniversary, Becky and I did a little talking, a little figuring. We figured out how old we would be when we hit our 50th anniversary. Well, we figured, that's not too old, 69 and 67. We might make that. But that's a long way in the future, right? Yeah, well, I'm at 46 today, so 4 years from now, that 50th will be here. And you know, those years have gone by so fast, they just go, and faster as we get older. But you know what's marvelous about being married to that woman? That even on those days when I'm an ornery, mean, old booger, she loves me anyway. I think that's one of the great things about being married, is that you get to be you totally and 100%, and you get loved anyway. You don't deserve that, but love does that. That's what we celebrate about our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. When you think about what God has done in creation, what he's done in redemption in our Savior, and by the Holy Spirit's work of bringing us and keeping us in the faith, we didn't deserve that. Not a one of us deserves that. But he does it out of that fatherly, divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in us. And so then Luther sums it up. He finishes up. He says, so all that it is my duty to thank and praise, serve and obey him, this is most certainly true. We love the Lord in all his complexity because he first loved us. This is most certainly true. Amen.
My strength, my song, his cornerstone. Heavenly Father, Son, Holy Spirit, we give thanks that you have poured out your grace and rallied all of heaven's resources to give us eternal life. Wed us to your calling, that we might find new blessings, that we might be recreated from sinner to saint, be turned into a true child of eternal life. Lord, renew us in your covenant with us, Jesus, that our faith may always be, might cling to the sacrifice of the cross and to the resurrection. And certainly, O Holy Spirit, remember and celebrate, help us to celebrate your gifts and your goodness throughout all of our years. Give us ears to hear and faith that moves to action. Bless us and keep us. Make your face shine upon us, and forever and always give us your peace. Lord of healing, we would ask you to be with those who need your help. Father, provide for them avenues of healing and give to them what is helpful. And Lord, we lift up all for whom we pray now, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let me take a moment to invite you personally to join us for worship at Grace. We have two services at 8 and 10:30 each Sunday morning with Sunday school and Bible classes in between. You'll find a warm and loving group of believers at Grace ready to welcome you into our family. If you enjoy these broadcasts or you'd like more information about Grace Lutheran Church, check out our website, mygracelutheran.com. And please join us in person later this morning. We're located at 1787 Klerner Lane in New Albany, Indiana. Hope to see you soon. Meantime, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His grace now and always.